Good morning, church. My name is Kyle Harmon. I am an interim associate pastor here, and it's just such a blessing to get to speak with you here this morning. It's a gift to preach here and tell you a little bit more about what God's been showing me in this sermon series, When You Pray. And obviously, this is a special Sunday for me, in particular, because I've been asked to be a candidate for the associate pastor position at Pine Lake Covenant. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's an honor and one that I'm incredibly grateful for. And now I know most of you don't know me, you know, like I haven't been here for 3 years. You know, you haven't held our girls and crying in the back there. You know, you haven't seen me get stuck in the rain walking around some Amish. I haven't said the wrong thing in a meeting you were in. That hasn't happened. All of you are like, oh, yes, it has. No, I'm kidding. You know who I am, hopefully. And who we are as a family. I see a lot of my family over there. We're filling up that section today. Love it. And we're just grateful for this church and for all the ways that you show up and support and love our family. In the past 3 years has just been an incredible gift to us, not just today. So thank you for that, and thank you for this opportunity. Now, for those of you who know me, you think you know me very well. You may not know this unless you've ever shared a room with me on a trip. I'm looking at my family because they're going to start laughing. But I have some strange things that happen to me when I go to sleep. And I will say that I cannot and will not be held liable in a court of law for anything that I have done or will do while I was asleep. Okay, so that's recorded. Scott, put that up. That's legal, right, Karin? Somebody's got me. It's okay, but there's some pretty amazing and ridiculous stories of things that I have done in my sleep. And mostly I just speak in some tongue, you know. We'll say it's a Holy Spirit tongue, but it's more just a gibberish. It's not actually a Holy Spirit tongue. I just yell at people in tongues. But if I'm really, really tired, I like to go exploring, which is great, right? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So yes, I am a sleepwalker, and I have terrified people. I have ran back and forth screaming until my cousin hit me with a Nerf bat to wake me up. That's true. Just ask him, my cousin Ryan. I've hung like a bat from the top bunk and stared at a kid who was staying over named Tyler Vigil until he woke up and saw me looking him eye to eye and he went, Mrs. Harmon, he's doing it again! Right, Mom? I've had discussions. I've insulted people that I had no idea. And I've had arguments. But I've woken up in some really strange situations in my life as a sleepwalker. But none of them was as strange as the mission trip that I went on when I went to Thailand. When I was 16 years old. And this wasn't, my wife went on a mission trip that wasn't like this mission trip. Like, this wasn't like some posh mission trip where we just stayed on beaches and kissed a few babies. She's shaking her head. No. This was a mission trip. We stayed in the orphanage with the orphans. We were there for 2.5 weeks and we built 2 full-size NBA basketball courts in cement without a cement truck by hand. Right? I lost like 25 pounds on this trip. I got heat stroke. I came back. My skin was 3 shades different. My mom didn't know who I was. Anyways, so again, really tired. I'm in a new place, right? So guess what happened, right? Okay. So I went to bed one night and I was really tired and just like snapping my fingers, right? My head hit the pillow and then I woke up, but I wasn't in my bed. I wasn't in my room. I wasn't in the house that I had went to sleep in. In fact, I was in the jungle in Thailand in my pajamas. And I was sitting next to an anthill. And I kid you not, because I had the scars to prove it on my butt from all the ants that bit me. But what I had done, Mom, you got to back me up. People don't believe me. People don't believe me. So my dad was famous for wandering the streets of Chicago when he was a kid. So this is a family trait. I don't know what I've done to Addie and Emma. I'm sorry, girls. But I would have thought this was a terrible dream, right? But this was just too real because I was getting bitten and I was like, obviously this couldn't have been fake. So I stumbled out of the forest and onto the little road that was in front of me. It was like a little dirt road. And I took a turn and walked like from me to Daniel right around that corner. And oh, there were the houses, right? That I had stayed in those houses. So I had walked in my sleep down 2 flights of stairs, out a door, onto a road, and about 100 feet down the corner before taking a turn into the jungle. This is what I wanted to do in my sleep, I guess. This is what my sleep self wanted. So I get back to the houses, and I knew what I needed, right? I knew exactly what I needed. I needed to get the bugs off me. I need to get the mud off of me. I need to get into a shower, and everything was going to be fine if I could just get back to sleep. It was going to be okay. But there was just one problem. I was knocking at the door to our little shared bungalow, right? And I'm just like pounding on this door, and it felt like probably 20 minutes, but it was probably like 2 minutes, right? When you're that tired, it's 3 a.m. And I'm just knocking, and I know that exactly what I need is right behind this door, until these two very sweet, very terrified elderly Asian people open the door like, please leave us alone. And then my leader, two houses down, goes, Kyle, what are you doing? It's 3 a.m. Get your butt back inside of here. I think he didn't say butt, but he said, get inside of here. And so I was at the wrong house. Yes, and I had terrified these two people pounding on their door. See, but I thought I knew exactly what I needed, right? I thought that, oh my gosh, if I could just get inside that door, I was going to be okay. I had the answer to this terrible, no good, awful experience of my sleepwalking. And now I share this story not only to warn future mission trip, you know, people, maybe just be careful around me at night, but also because it reminds me of something that Jesus said in the book of Matthew. So if you brought your Bibles today, go ahead and let's open up to Matthew 7 together. And if you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. I'm just going to read it off the screen here. So Matthew 7, 7 to 11 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son or your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, tough word there, evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Would you pray with me? God, I just pray that you take this scripture, Lord, this passage, God, and you use it to keep instructing us in your way. Show us, God, exactly what you have for us this morning in learning about asking and seeking and knocking. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know about you, but this is kind of one of those verses that has always bothered me in the Bible, right? If it doesn't bother you, that's okay, but it has bothered me because I have asked for a lot of things in my life and not gotten them. I don't know about you, I have. I've tried seeking for things that I haven't found, right? Right? And like that door in Thailand, I have knocked at some doors that shouldn't have opened, but haven't opened to me, right? And there's some really, really bad theology that comes out of this passage. Really bad theology. And people use this, you know, to support theology like prosperity gospel, right? Which says everybody should be rich. That's how God created us to all be rich. That's not true. Jesus says the poor will be with you always. That's not, yeah, right? That's bad theology. Another bad theology that comes out of this passage, I think, is name it, claim it, right? I'm gonna claim me that pink Cadillac. Amen. The door is going to open. I'm going to that pink Cadillac. I'm sorry, Josh. I didn't know in a southern accent. No offense. I had to. But even worse, I think some have used this passage as a weapon to tell others that they didn't have enough faith when something they were praying for didn't come to pass. Right? I think I've said that in my life. I grew up in a, you know, fundamental church. I probably said that to somebody. That's awful. That's bad theology. That's not good. So, if Jesus isn't saying the prosperity gospel or name it, claim it, or blame people for their lack of faith, what is Jesus saying? And I think it's always important to remember that there's a context to every verse we read, right? And the context to this verse, first of all, if you do a Bible study with me or ever with me, you'll hear me say this a lot, I'm going to repeat this a lot, you are not the first audience, right? We are not the first audience. And that means that for looking at this book, it's like, it's incredible. It's God's word. And yet Jesus said it, and then somebody wrote it down, and they wrote it in Greek, and then it was translated to Latin, and then it was translated in the 1600s to English in a terrible version called the King James, and then it was translated later to the NIV, which is kind of better. But anyways, we're not the first audience, right? We have to approach the Bible with humility, even though we're covenanters. It says, where is it written? So it's written here, and we need to approach it this way, I think. So, the passage that I just read in Matthew 7, right? It's part of a larger thing. Does anybody know what it's part of? Yes, I heard that. Was that Kent? Sermon on the Mount? Somebody back there, I heard Sermon on the Mount. Well, oh, Brent! Nicely done. Points redeemable after service. But it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. You got to hold me to that, I know. So part of the Sermon on the Mount, which matters, right? Because if I make a point in this sermon and I don't come back to that point, like I'm not a good preacher. We know that Jesus was a good preacher, right? So he actually begins preaching in Matthew 6, the pericope. There you go, Professor Kyle. That's like a passage in scripture. The pericope starts in Matthew 6, where it says this. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," right? So you see, Jesus starts this section, this whole section on prayer, where he makes this first point. And his first point is about seeking and asking for the kingdom to come. Okay, maybe that matters now when we get to Matthew 7, right? Where he says, ask, seek, and knock. So I think the question that we have to ask as we look at Matthew 7, where it says these things, we have to ask this. Are we seeking the gift or are we seeking the giver? I want you to write that down in your notes. If you got notes, don't worry if you don't. I never take notes, but other people do. Julie takes amazing notes. Are we seeking the gift or are we seeking the giver? Because we do serve a God who wants to give us good gifts. We just read that. We read that in Matthew. Jesus said that. But those gifts might not look like what we wanted. Are we seeking the gift or are we seeking the giver, church? And so there's a couple points in this scripture. We've set it up here that I think this communicates that's important. And firstly, as I said, if we're seeking the giver, God's kingdom, right? That's our goal. God's kingdom is the goal, right? Thy will be done, not my will be done. And oftentimes, how many of these asks, these petitions, these questions, these prayers, how many of them are actually about something that we want deeply? I want this healing for me, or I want this financial thing for this person. I want this, I want that. And I'm not saying those are bad prayers. We're supposed to bring our petitions to God. But this passage is about seeking the kingdom, right? And sometimes when I'm praying, I know that God leads me to a completely different door than the one that I wanted, right? Like, and if this is for God's kingdom, this changes the whole shape of what we're praying for. And also about this God's kingdom, this also means we probably don't know the outcome, right? Like, how many times are we praying and we're praying for a preconceived solution, a preconceived outcome, that thing that we think is going to fix the problem? But realistically, just like I was pounding at that door in Thailand, right? I knew everything I needed was behind that door, but I was dead wrong. So if we're coming to God, the creator of the universe, right, who loves us and wants to give us good gifts in his kingdom, but we think we have the exact answer of what we need, church, we're being fooled, right? That's right where the enemy wants us. And those of you who have kids, you will know this better than anyone in the world. There's sometimes a giant Grand Canyon-sized chasm between what your kids want and what your kids need, right? Amen? Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Amen, church. And we might laugh and we think our kids are silly, but I think we can all be a little bit like a kid with God sometimes, right? Approaching God as the cosmic vending machine of, you know, Lord, I need this, again, pink Cadillac. But there was a time, actually, I'm going to share a story. We'll go off a little off script here. My mom loves to play design games on her iPad. She's got all these designs, and she does a great job designing spaces, and people award her points online or hard-earned points, you know? She's great at it. But she occasionally gives the iPad to my daughters, right? And so Addie and Emma, they know when grandma comes to town, they get to design, and they love it. They're big designers. And so Emma, the littlest one, you know, she's 3, and she's left alone with the iPad this Christmas, and she looked down and she said, I know exactly what grandma needs. I know exactly what grandma needs to make all of her designs just pop off the page. So she took all of grandma's hard-earned points, all the time and energy and maybe a little bit of money, very little bit of money spent on those points, right? And she bought what she thought grandma needed, what she needed. Well, she bought Mudang the pygmy hippo. And she put Mudang, if you don't know who Mudang is, look it up, Mudang is a meme. And she bought that pygmy hippo, and she's like, she was so excited to show grandma, grandma, I got what you need. It's the pygmy hippo. And grandma was like, oh, sweet girl, did you spend all my points on that hippo? And she did, because she thought that's what she needed. But it was what she wanted. So secondly, Mudang, we're called. Secondly, here, the second point I want to pull out is that we're called to action, right? This passage says, ask and it will be given. Seek and we will find. Knock and the door will be open. Right? These are active words. These are active words. And we're invited to act, called to action. And if we pray for something and we don't hear an exact answer, sometimes I feel like we can get stuck sitting there waiting for that God to just give us, Lord, I need you to show me exactly what you want me to do, right? But if we've gone to God, if we have prayed, if we have asked the Lord to speak into it, and he hasn't, is that, we just sit there and wait? Are we supposed to stop? No. We're supposed to keep walking. Walking in faith with the Lord, right? Micah 6:8 says it this way, right? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God, right? Like, the Bible is very clear. There are a lot of things we are supposed to do, even if we don't hear exactly from the Lord. So just because we don't know exactly what the next step is doesn't mean we don't keep walking. My dad says it this way. We can't be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. Right? Paul Harmon, that guy can preach. Can't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. We've got to keep acting. We're called to action. And the third point I think that this passage makes incredibly clear is that if we do seek the Lord, we will find him. We will find Jesus, right? And that might not always be the timing we want. It might not always be the answer we want. It might not always be the door we're knocking at, but we will find Jesus if we seek him. And I'm going to throw up some references on the screen. These are all obviously, again, within context, but you can see this is all over the Bible, right? New Testament, we got Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, Deuteronomy. And again, these are in context. So we look at Jeremiah 29, right? That's a pretty tough passage of scripture when you read it with Jeremiah 28. But we're still promised that if we seek God after that time period, we will find him. But church, if we are seeking the gift, right, and not the giver, we will miss both. I'll say that one more time. If we are seeking the gift, if we are seeking that preconceived idea of what we want and not God, who is the giver of good gifts, relationship with God in our prayer, we're going to miss both. We're going to miss both of those things. So are we seeking the gift or are we seeking the giver? Now, church, I'd love to share a story with you right now about how I was at one point in my life seeking the gift and seeking the solution in my life instead of seeking the giver, right? Instead of having relationship with God in prayer. And I know I've mentioned this story before, but this is part of my story of how I got here to Pine Lake Covenant. So allow me to share this again. About 10 years ago, I started to experience some serious health struggles where I could barely speak and I could barely sing and I had terrible sleep. I was sleeping 1 or 2 hours a night. My body and everything was falling apart. And at this time, I was a worship director at a church. And I went to God and I poured out my heart. I said, Lord, I need you to heal me. God, I know exactly what I need. I need you to fix my voice. Because if you just fix my voice, then I could sleep again. I could talk to people. The stress would go away. And then I could work again and I could lead worship. And this is what you want, right, God? And I knew if he could just restore my voice, then everything would go back to being fine. Fine. That's honestly what I thought. But how many of us know the Lord does not want us to be fine? Right? He wants us to be transformed. He wants to take us to a new place. And I didn't stop and wait. I didn't get paralyzed in that place. I went to every doctor I could find, right, over the course of 6-7 years. I went to sleep therapists and I went to general doctors and naturopaths and traditional medicine, acupuncture, chiropractor, everything I could possibly find. Thousands and thousands of dollars. I knocked as hard as humanly possible on that door for God to fix my voice. And he didn't. He did not fix my voice. See, because I had the solution. I knew what the answer was. I was seeking the gift and not the giver. Like I said, God didn't answer that prayer. I didn't find that solution. He didn't open that door. And so I realized that I had to leave my role as a worship director. I had to leave my position, which was everything I wanted to do in life at that point. But it wasn't a calling. It wasn't a calling. It was a job. It was something I could do and I wanted to do. But if you'd asked me, do you feel called to do this? I'd have said, no, I'm just doing this. Just not what you should do at a church, right, church? That's not what we're doing today. So as I was leaving, I prayed and I said, Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to do? What do you want us to do? I said, God, I am all out of answers. If you're not going to fix my voice, then I don't know what this is. I don't know what we're going to do. And I prayed, and he made it very clear that he wanted me to apply to this master's program at Seattle Pacific Seminary. Now, my wife was reminding me last night, if I had said, I want to go seminary, she would have said, N-O, no, I am not being a pastor's wife. She would have said, no way are you going to seminary. But God, he finagled this, right? He was like, no, I want Kyle to go to seminary, but I'm going to give him a master's degree that Joanna will be okay with. And so I decided literally what happened. And so I applied to Seattle Pacific University in faith, you know, and I got accepted, and my first class was going to start in August, right? And so there we are, and we're like, okay, well, that's the first fleece. Okay, we'll put that down. We'll see what happens. But we said we had just remodeled our home. We had just put, like, our life savings into that. We had just spent the whole year previous to that doing all that work, and we said, oh, my gosh. God, what are we going to do? We can't sell our house. I mean, we'll sell it if we have to, but we don't want to. God, can you provide something for us, somewhere for us to live? And he brought Mark and Aaron, my parents-in-law, Joanna's parents, to mind. And so we called them. We asked them, would you be willing to finish your basement, which was completely unfinished at this time? This was like in April or May. And they said, absolutely. We love you. Love you, Mark. Love you, Aaron. Thank you. I'm getting a little caught up because when people... you do something for the kingdom, not only does God open doors for you, he opens doors with other people, right? And other people step up and they open those doors with you. And so they built that out for us. And we said, okay, well, when can you have this done? They said, I think we can get it done in August. And I said, okay, well, that's pretty clear. And then I said, okay, well, we can't sell the house though. We got to rent this house out. I don't know about y'all, but we're never going to be able to buy a house in this area again. So I said, Lord, if you want us to worship, if you want us to minister here, if you want me to go to the seminary and you want to make this happen, then you got to find somebody we can rent our house out to, somebody we trust, somebody we love, somebody that's not just going to ruin all that work that we just put in, right? That was a big step of faith because we felt like, oh no, what could happen? And the next day, Joanna, right? Next day, she's nodding. Mm-hmm. The next day, one of our best friends, Nick texts us. The person who designed our remodel of our house texts us and he says, hey, my lease is going to be up. I would love to live in your neighborhood. Is there any way that I could move in? One of your neighbors, is there a house available? And we said, well, how much do you want to spend? You know, us of little faith. me of little faith. Joanna was good. It was me of little faith. And I said, how much do you want to spend? And he sent back a number and it was $50 more than our mortgage. And we said, okay, well, when is your lease up? August. We serve a good God, church. We serve a God who gives good gifts, right? God is such a giver of good gifts. And let me tell you that if I hadn't left that role at my previous church, I would have never gotten healthy, right? I had burned myself to a crisp. I was leading 11 services a week. This is not what people should do. This was awful. And working 80, 90 hours a week, and I was dying over there, literally. And I would have never gone to seminary. Joanna wouldn't have let me. I would have never felt that call from the Holy Spirit to be a pastor. We would have never felt that call as a family. And I wouldn't be here preaching today. That wasn't my plan, right? That wasn't the answer I came to God with. That wasn't the door that I was knocking at desperately and begging for God to open. But when I stopped seeking that gift, when I stopped seeking the answer, and I started seeking the giver, seeking God, seeking relationship with God in prayer, every single door that he led us to flew open wide. And so, church, that's why I'm here today. Because God has opened the doors to come to Pine Lake Covenant. And every step of the way, he's been faithful. All my life, he has been faithful. Amen. So when I started seeking the giver, I found that gift of relationship with God and the adventure in the kingdom that comes with that, that we were created for. So church, where in your life are you seeking that gift right now? I know all of us, even myself, you know, that's why we build the Ebenezers, right? To go back and remember. We build the stones and say, remember what God did, because like the people of Israel, we forget. We forget. And I can go back to God and be like, God, I got the solution. I know it. So where are we seeking that solution that we already have? Where do you think you might already have that answer? Now, during this sermon series, we've been practicing prayer in some way, right? In stillness or giving God the first 5 minutes of our day. And I want to invite us this week to an ancient practice that's called praying the hours. And this is a practice where three times a day we surrender to God. We surrender our will, we surrender ourselves, we surrender our desires to God. So when you wake up at noon or midday and at bedtime, I want to invite you to pray these words. And these are words from our church fathers. Our church fathers and mothers wrote these down a long time ago. So go ahead, take a picture of these if you need, because I want us to pray these today and for this week, inviting us to this. And actually, can we pray these together right now, church? Let's put our hands out like this. Let's pray these together. I surrender to God's care for my body, my mind, my soul, and my whole life by relinquishing to you all that I cannot control. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I think our culture is pretty good at telling us that we are in control, right? Our culture tells us that we are in control. Our culture tells us that we have the answer, that God doesn't have the answer, that something outside of us, it's our finances or it's a doctor or it's this or that or the other, which are not bad things, but they are not the answer. They are not the giver. So we got to seek the giver and not the gift. So when you pray this week, I want to invite you to open your hands, release whatever answer, whatever petition it is that you've been holding on to, whatever door that you've been desperately knocking at, and invite you to surrender this to God. Pastor Becca was reminding me that there's this tough verse in the Bible where Jesus is roaming the countryside, and it says he went about the countryside and he healed some, not all, right? And this is Jesus' life. And so I want us to think in those parameters, in those kingdom parameters. What is God doing for the kingdom? What is God inviting me to in the kingdom? And as we seek God, as we seek relationship with God, as we ask the Lord, what door you want to lead me to in the kingdom? I am confident that as we ask, it will be given. As we seek, we will find. And as we knock, the door will be opened. If we're seeking the giver. So church, would you pray with me as I invite the band forward? God, I just thank you this morning, Lord, that you are a good, good Father, that you are a good God, and you give us good gifts. Lord, the gifts that, Lord, we didn't even ourselves believe that we could have, God. Lord, the path that we didn't even choose. So Lord, I pray that you make us brave, you make us courageous, God. You say, fear not, Lord, and you continue just to show us, Lord, where you are leading so that we may follow you, so that we can faithfully follow you. God, I want to just give you a short time here to just speak, God. I would pray, Lord, that you come in this stillness. God, come in this stillness and speak to us right now. Show us those places in our lives that we think we have the answer. God, we lay those at your feet right now, Lord. We lay those at your feet right now. God, we thank you that you are a good, good Father, and you're a giver of good gifts. We thank you that you lead us to walk with you in your kingdom. Lord, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.